Take two.
All right, let's try this fucking again.
Yeah, sorry. This is the second time because my computer decided to just shut off. So does that sometimes for whatever reason. Anyway, let's talk about your track day.
Oh, we're not going to talk about your... Are we going to add the original first half in there? Or are you
gonna okay. So I'll give a brief... a brief of what we just talked about. Okay, so studs broke, I'm dirty, and I'm almost done. I'm changing the front pads on the right side, and then have to put the new studs on the right front, and then I'm done. And then I'm going to go embed the pads in.
I didn't think you could get any darker, but I definitely... I look like a coal miner. I was proven wrong tonight. Yeah. Let me tell you what.
Look at that.
Yeah. I mean,
working on cars.
You look like you're from, what was that? October Skies. Remember that movie about the rocket, the kids, the rocket and his dad? Fucking, I'm not even going to get into it, but the dad dies from like inhalation of too much coal duct.
Yeah.
I like that movie. It had Jake Gyllenhaal in it.
He's in a lot of good movies.
And he was like creepy with the teacher. You don't know this movie?
No.
It's like creep. All right. Yeah. Fuck it.
Someone will, though.
Someone's gonna comment on this and be like, "Oh shit, I haven't thought of that movie in a while." All right. So you fixed your studs.
Yeah.
And it's not on your pants, right?
Yeah. It's not.
Okay. That's what I just want to make sure. Yeah. So I did my test day. This past weekend, and it was at Lime Rock, which is a great racetrack for anybody who has
fantastic racetrack.
It is one of those tracks where, like, if you look at it just from like an internet website, what the fuck am I? A website, or like if you're looking at it like from a picture, you're like, this is so tiny and boring. There's one left, but dude, it is so fucking fast, that track. Holy moly! I was rusty getting out there, and let me tell you, I forgot how much concentration it takes to keep the damn car on the road there. Woo! No, I didn't go off.
You're too good for that.
I don't know about that. More like I wasn't pushing it.
Yeah.
I feel pretty good about the test day. It wasn't just a test day for the cars. It was also a test day for like getting the vehicles ready and getting them on the loader on the truck and making sure we have everything and all the tools. And it's just more of like what was that? What was that? Some fucking elephant porn or something?
No, it was
what the fuck was that?
Rotary.
Oh, well, it sounded like an elephant. There we go. Where was I? Oh, right. Yeah. So it was sort of like a dry run. Mm-hmm. Consider it like a dry run for an event.
Right.
And yeah, it was just one day. It turned out to be a beautiful day in March, which almost never happens around here. It was like 55, 60 degrees, maybe.
It didn't look like that many people. But...
Dude, it was... This is the first time in all my years of driving where I had open track at Lime Rock, which is almost unheard of because that track, just inherently, you are always behind somebody or catching up to somebody.
Yeah.
So that was really cool. But yeah, I had a good time. Had to do a lot of changes on my suspension. Because I did do some changes on the suspension in the off season. So I had to basically start from ground zero and work my way up. Ground zero. No, I did not start from ground zero. Started from zero. And I just wanted to make sure that the car was on the same pace as it was last year.
Yeah.
You know, I didn't want to go into the first event being like, I don't know what the car is going to do, and I'm slower.
Yep.
So it was a good benchmark, and I actually looked at my data from over in August versus now, and I mean, I was braking a lot earlier and this past weekend because I wasn't taking a lot of chances, but even still, I still got into like a 59 something, so I was happy. Yeah.
What did you do last year?
I did a 59.3, I think.
Okay.
And I did a 59.7, I think, this past weekend.
Right.
So that's the difference between sneezing and not on a throttle.
Yeah.
There. So
yeah, there was incentive to push at the competition versus
while it was colder and the track was, you know, decently quick, it still was a lot slicker. Like, it didn't, like, in the braking zones was the biggest areas where I could feel like, where I would usually break at like the 3.5, I was breaking at like the 4.5 or even the 5 into Big Bend.
Yeah.
So, and again, I was rusty, so I wasn't, you know, trying to go for it. But yeah, it was nice to go to Lime Rock when it wasn't drifting, ruining the track. So that was nice. But yeah, no, had a great time. I switched over to some new Fortunatos. Devin, if you could give them the infomercial of what I switched to.
So Eddie is now a double adjustable boy. Even though we were talking shit about, well, I was talking shit about it being a street class.
If you can't beat them, join them. Right?
Right. I mean, I can still talk shit. I'm still on singles. So
yeah.
So he's finally on. Well, not even finally. He's on our pro series, pro two way series dampers. So it's a remote two way adjustable suspension. The first to ever be on a FK8 for Fortune. Pretty cool.
It actually fits pretty well. I'll have to send you some more photos of like where things are mounted, but
yeah,
like surprisingly, I mean, there was some difficulty with like the reservoir parts in the front,
right?
But honestly, like the placement of them, it's really easy. It's not nearly as difficult. Oh, dude, I'll send you photos. I mean, of course. You and I were like, oh, put it on the top, right? You know, like a lot of people, if you look at photos of other FK8 owners who have remote reservoirs, they tend to put them sort of near like the firewall or near like the cowl.
Yeah.
Right. And that is a good place. I was talking to, you know, my good friend and mechanic, and he was like, dude, why don't you just stick them in the fender? Because that fender has so much room there.
Yeah.
And then he's like, also, you're not boiling the fluid.
Yep.
Because that engine gets nuclear.
Right.
So those underhood temps, I mean, you've seen that car. It looks like a tea kettle.
Yeah.
When it comes in. So we actually mounted them like in the fenders.
Oh, but perfect.
Like right in the, and they fit really well. Mm-hmm. So yeah, came out great. And then the rears were exactly what we talked about.
Yeah.
You know, right in the back near the, I don't even know what, like behind the fender liners in the rear, but yeah, they fit really well and you can access them without having to lift the car. So dude, it's awesome. So, happy with them.
Good.
It took a lot of adjusting to get comfortable, but I mean, you know, you walked me through on where a good starting point is, and Fortune also gives a great little cheat sheet on, you know, where to begin, because a lot of manufacturers, I feel like, don't do a particularly good job. They just assume that you are a professional and
you've been doing this. Or you have a professional
there. Yes, or you have a professional there. And like, I can tell you something. If you can really fuck up whatever you're doing.
Oh, for sure.
Like, real quick.
Yeah.
And I was doing it by like increments of one or two.
That's the way to do it. Because you'll feel every two clicks.
And it took a long time. I mean, Corey, thank you. Godsend. She would run out during, I would come real in every one. Two laps and she would make the adjustments and jump back in.
Yeah.
And let me go out for another two laps. I mean, it took us probably, 30 laps of trial and error. But yeah, I feel dialed in and the car feels good and I feel comfortable. So,
right.
Yeah, that was good. The toter, knock on wood, went without a hitch. No, it went with a hitch. Sorry. And we didn't really have any issues with that. We finally have solved the speaker and internet and all that shit issue.
Mm-hmm.
Thank you, Elon Musk, for Starlink.
Yeah, thank you.
So, yeah, it's so nice to have cell service, internet at the track.
Right.
Like,
that's independent off of the whatever the track is providing.
Yeah, so that was nice. And overall, David did well. Very little casualties in terms of damages, but nothing really happened. So
good. I know Nathan was there.
Oh yeah. Why am I blanking here? Nate was there doing the same thing that I was, you know, just getting a feel for everything again. I don't know what changes he made. He
made any,
you know, if any, but he was running into, I want to say, like brake issues with like air in the lines, or that's what he thinks.
Yeah.
in the morning, he actually came in with a misfire, and you know, we were all kind of concerned.
Yeah.
But I think it kind of went away after he cleaned some things up, changed the plugs or the coil packs.
Mm-hmm.
And yeah, that was all fine. So I think he did great, though. I think he was happy. I think he ran a personal best, too. I forget what it was, though. Apologize.
It was a 1:02, I think.
It's nice.
1:03, something like that. So almost to
59. He'll get there. I'm sure that car is a sub-1 minute. We're in like a Instagram group chat, and he posted his lap time, and like, I feel like we could just make some small corrections, and I think easily a 59. So
yeah, or 1:04. My bad.
But 1 minute and four. Okay.
It's still, yeah, 100% could be 59. Easy. So.
Yeah.
Well, I wouldn't say easy, but it could be done.
Yeah. There was, oh no, I lied. There was one incident on the track.
What happened?
A Cayenne rolled over.
Where?
Big Bend.
Wait, Cayenne?
Yes.
Like the SUV?
You heard me. Yes.
What the fuck is that thing doing on track?
I didn't ask any questions. I just walked out of the toter, and there was a Cayenne on its side. This was like the last session of the day too, so it sucks.
What?
Yeah, I don't know what happened. I don't know. But
it wasn't like a Macan, it was a Cayenne.
It may have been a Macan. I don't know. They look the fucking same now. Those okay. things.
Well, one's a little more un.
But this was from a distance, bro. If you looked at it directly side, you know, side profile from like 50 feet away.
Do you know if it was a turbo?
I mean, aren't they all turbos now?
Mm,
don't they all have turbos?
No. Well, if it's a new one, maybe, but I know the older ones.
It's brand new. Rate, brand new.
Oh, he got money. Well, interesting.
I guess he was testing.
That's a very interesting track car.
Maybe he was doing an elk test midway through Big Bend.
Maybe he had like a important phone call, and it just was just in the middle of that, and it just rolled it over.
Yeah, we saw a bear on the way home. That was cool.
Yeah,
we're driving home, and there was like this thing in the road. I'm like, holy fuck, is that a bear?
Mm-hmm.
And I ran to go get our honey. Okay. But he had left by the time we found
it. He got scared. The toter was too big.
It was a big bear.
I mean, he looked like he was eating good.
Oh, he had a good winter. He was he was big chilling under some deck or porch, just eating right. whatever was getting dumped in there. So I think there's like a law somewhere where like if a bear is living under your porch, you can't move it. Like you can't get rid of it. Like it's considered like a
Massachusetts law.
I mean, it could be a hate crime in Massachusetts for all we fucking know. I don't know. Yeah, no. I think just what I learned the most about this past weekend is, A, take it slow. Because, like, yeah. Oh, my God, I was so rusty going out there. I mean, it's not been that long, but it's been long enough where I'm like, oh, wow.
Mm-hmm.
It's like you have to get your mind retuned to picking up the sensories at that speed.
What tire were you using?
The CRSs from last year.
Okay.
So they were like Lime Rock and Laguna tires.
Mm.
So they were pretty chooched.
Yeah. Are you going to run CRSs this year or you're running 71 RSs?
71. I mean, CRSs.
Okay.
I like them. I really like CRSs.
Yeah.
And if you ever need some,
you can get them at Rinscott.
You can get them at RS Pro, as a matter of fact.
Yeah.
But boom.
Plug.
Yeah. Yeah. So, yeah, I felt really good. And then the other thing is getting suspension setups is not like a, oh, you know, let me turn it on this and forget about it. It just takes time.
Yeah. And even like when you go to CMP, you're going to have to tweak it a little here and there.
Of course.
But yeah, CMP should be fun.
Also, I think it's more like you're adjusting the rebound, right? I'm not really touching the compression. The compression wouldn't change that much.
Yeah, it shouldn't change that much unless you want like a big adjustment, like, towards like compression, like if you need rotation or something.
But I want to stiffen that fucker up. Yeah.
Right. But typically you're pretty much adjusting rebound force.
Yeah.
Just because like you don't
That's really the main it. Change, right? That from my understanding of what you all have told me and me looking up stuff, seems to me like the biggest changes are with rebound.
Yeah, like low speed rebound force is typically what you're going to be changing more often than not, unless you have aero. If you have aero, you're probably going to be changing compression and all that good stuff.
Did you adjust your coils for the aero?
Yeah, I mean, we changed the valving profile of the dampers, and then I also changed ring rates. So to handle whatever load was there, I just based it off of what CJM told me about how much downforce the car would make at a certain speed and where I'm going to probably be at most of the times for that car. Okay. So it was a very slight change. It wasn't too much because the front of the car doesn't make a ton of downforce just because I have a hole like not too far off of the leading edge of the splitter because I have the trans cooler there. So if it was blocked off, it would make more. And if I could fit tunnels, like the splitter tunnels, it would make more too, but there's no space for it. So yeah, the fun parts of having a compact Euro front end has everything under the sun in the way.
I mean, I understand your pain. My car is very tight in the engine bay. It looks like, you know, the mess of what most modern day direct injection engines are, turbo engines.
Yeah, I mean, it's just the coolers, which I'm not too mad about, right?
At least you got them. Right. I didn't get those.
My car can stay cool all day long, but yeah, it's just shit in the way. And if I want to do it, I have to relocate everything, and then that just becomes a fucking pain in the ass.
Nope.
Yeah.
Sorry, not doing it.
Right.
For a couple pounds of downforce.
Yeah.
Yeah, the Cayman went well. There was minor issues with some of the aero that
just hardware.
I don't really know exactly what happened. I'm not an expert on aerodynamics, but something went funky with it. Something went fucky.
Yeah.
And I don't really know exactly why, what caused it, but it's good we test because that would have sucked at CMP. So.
Right. Yeah. I mean, that's the great part about figuring out the car before you actually get to competition.
It sounds wild.
Does it? Did he put exhaust on it? What, like a sole exhaust?
Got a Dundon exhaust and then I think headers from Dundon, maybe? I don't know.
How much does that car make? You know?
I'd guess, I don't know. If I were to guess, like 450.
I bet that bitch screams.
With that intake plenum, that motherfucker screams. It howls. It sounds so good. Yeah. I don't know how he didn't
blow sound,
fail sound at Lima. But I think it also may have had to do with the fact that there was only like one car on each corner going. Mm-hmm. So maybe they just didn't care.
Yeah,
or it's like early enough in the season where no one gives a fuck.
Right.
So, I mean, luckily, no issues.
That's good.
So, yeah, that was fun. CMP is right around the corner.
Yeah, well, we got like, 3 weeks?
3 weeks, and I still have some minor things that need to be...
You still need to wrap your car.
It is at the wrap shop right now.
Oh, is it?
Yes, I dropped it off Sunday. So it is...
What's the lead time, do you know?
I think I told the beginning of April, I think was when.
Okay.
So, and then it gets... Then it'll be before you know it, you know? So... Just some minor things that I need to change. Drill some holes for things. For the extenders in the back.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
Some other stuff. That's
pretty simple.
Yeah.
What else was I going to ask you? And then you're going to put my new decal on that I got you.
Oh, that's already going on.
Oh,
I gave that to the rap guy. Oh, good. I said, I want Civi again.
No. Fuck that.
Civic. Yeah. I told him replace that. The problem is I don't have a Type R badge. So when we removed the wrap, the Type R badge kind of disintegrated. Because I guess it's in like multiple pieces.
Mm-hmm.
So it just kind of just fell apart and it looks like shit. And so I have to get a new one, but they're on back order. So I just have a base model Civic for a little bit.
Well, no, you don't have just a base model Civic. You have a Civic FL5 Civic
badge.
Mm-hmm.
I leveled up is what you're saying.
You leveled up. Why don't you just get like a FL5 Type R badge?
I tried. Sold out.
Even on eBay?
Well, I could pay the eBay tax. You're right. I could pay $200 for a fucking...
Okay, it wasn't that much.
Dude, it was. You laugh. You laugh. I bet you. I bet you'd be $85.
$85? Oh, hold on. No way.
Dude, I'm telling you right now.
Where did all the fucking badges go? Why is it on back order? Why don't you just make a sticker?
Because they all get stolen.
By who? The normal fucking Civic owners?
Dude, yeah, exactly. They get all jelly. They're like, yo, you know, it's like the AMG shit. Yeah, you're the one to talk. Every
bro,
fucking
they can have my shit. Yo, I took all that shit off.
You know, that SL500 gang with all the AMG badges back in the day. They used to sell those on the lots. They'd be like, yeah, I got you an AMG, honey. Turns out it was just a 500.
Yo, fool them every time.
I remember, like, Florida, circa, like, late 90s to, like, mid-2005, like, area.
Mm-hmm.
Every AMG was, like, an SL500 or, like, an S500. And they just put monoblocks on it that they had laying around in the dealership and put that badge on it. No one could tell the difference because back then AMGs were considered subtle. So
how much are these normally, these Type R badges? Because they're kind of fucking expensive on
eBay. I fucking told you, bro.
But they're not $80 expensive, but they're out there. They're way more than
all right. I would guess they're like $45.
New. From the dealer?
From the dealer. That's like a rough estimate. That's what I would guess, yeah.
Yeah.
What are we talking here, bud?
So here we go. I found one from the United Kingdom, an authentic badge. It's $31.77, but it's $14 a ship.
I'm calling BS on that.
I found one. This is more than
some Wish.com bullshit.
It's gonna, it has a part number too.
Wish.com. It's gonna be like
and
half the size.
In the UK. Dang. JDM.
Yeah, but that's $30. That's £30.
It's 24 pounds. It's already converted. $31. And there's $17 for shipping though. So it's like $50.
Yeah, I told you they don't play. Let me look this up. eBay.com.
Here, I'll just send this one. Yeah, just look it up.
FL5 badge.
No, I just typed in Type R, FK8 badge. You can put in rear. Badge.
I'm putting the FL5 one on there.
Okay, do that. They probably have those more.
$70.
Okay. Well,
2023 USDM. How much are the FKA ones?
Still up there. This is fucking crazy. There's no way in fuck all I would pay that much.
That's what I'm saying. I'm running just a Civic.
Then again, I did spend a lot on yours. I don't remember how much it was, but it was more than
I'm very thankful. I'm very thankful. At least my car will have a name.
Yeah, a proper name.
What if I bought like those? What if I bought like the cheap fake Type R badges? Like would anybody call me out on that? Like a DC5 like replica?
Bro, you could just 3D print this shit.
What if I put a Golf R badge on it? Just like the Golf R emblem.
What? You should.
I'll do it. I have no shame. I'll ask fucking Nate to get me one. He's probably got a couple of those laying around.
You should be just like the Porsche people. To save weight, just make a Type R sticker. Just throw it on the back of it.
All right, I'm going to look that up right now. Type R sticker.
No, your vinyl dude can probably make it. He's wrapping the car? Fucking...
I don't trust him. No, I'm just kidding. I'm just kidding. No, I'm going to do this myself, all right? I don't need him. Oh, I found it. Vinyl racing decal sticker for Type R logo. $9.50. You think I can afford it? I don't know. That's a little.
Yo, I found a genuine OEM FD2 Type R badge.
Yeah, that's the one I saw. How much?
$45.
Yo, what if I got this one? It says only Acura, but in like the OnlyFans script.
Oh, God.
Put that on the back.
Yeah, you should. Yeah, honestly, if you took a Type R badge from a different Type R, I think that would be pretty hard. It'd be like a throwback. See if anyone could tell.
I think I might do that.
I mean, it's cheaper. And
No. Look, I found the genuine Integra rear decal sticker.
Oh, like the sticker.
Yeah, I could just do that.
That'd be cool.
And then I can take it off when I want to, and I don't have to worry about
destroying it.
Yeah. See, you're
and
onto
it's
something.
Authentic.
You're onto something. Yeah, but it's $59.
Oh.
For a sticker. But it's authentic. It's real.
It's authentic. It's just see, JDM.
I might have to do it.
And it's like an homage to the... If anyone could actually, like... Well, I will know. And then whoever is listening to this podcast will know. And they'll be like, wow, look at him. They'll walk by your car and be like, hey, that's a DC2 Type R sticker on his car. Wow, he's so JDM. That's what they're going to say.
Dude, there's a lot of R badges I could put. I could put, what other, well, there's Golf R, there's GTR.
Please don't put a fucking GTR badge.
I put a GTR badge on it. What about I put like the Type S logo?
Oh, they probably have those in stock.
I'm going to head down to the old local AutoZone and just make one out of the individual letters that you can buy.
What color is your emblem? Is it red? Do you have the red Honda emblem on your car?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. I think so the last time I checked. Stolen at this point, but.
I don't remember. I don't know if you took it off and destroyed that too.
No, because that's on the trunk. I didn't take that off.
Oh, good.
The front emblem is, there's no front emblem though.
Wait, why?
Because my grill is not factory. Mm. It looks like a whale shark, so there's no.
Oh, you don't have that.
There's no emblem anymore.
Got it.
Which some people really don't like. People give me shit for it, but I'm like, it's all in the Need for Speed.
Yeah.
We'll have to look into this. If anybody has any ideas, just send them my way on Instagram. If you have any good R badges, maybe, you know, something from like a Renault or something. Weird.
Fuck no. You can't do that.
No. If I was going to do one, it would be like an old Type R badge, like you said.
So. God, these are expensive. You weren't kidding. This DC2 fucking stickers. Expensive as shit.
I'd have to. Yeah, I don't know. We'll have to think this through.
Yeah.
So.
Anyway. So. Are you ready for the F1 this weekend?
What do you mean? Am I ready for?
To stay up. Because it's going to be a late showing. Unless you live in Australia. Are you actually going to stay up and watch it? Or no?
I mean, I'm going to try to. Well, first thing, I'm not going to stay up because I'll be snowboarding. So.
Oh, this weekend?
Yeah. Yeah.
Dang. Hitting what? The slopes.
Oh, yeah. So I'm going snowboarding for the weekend. But, I used to stay up. The last couple of years we've stayed up and it's been a fucking wash. It's been like red flag after red flag. And my shit was, I was gone. Midway through the red flags, Corey tried to stay up. She was drooling. All right. And then the race was just a fucking shit show.
Who won last year? You know?
I don't fucking know. And it doesn't matter at this point. It's probably Verstappen or Perez.
Right.
And it had to have been one of them because it wasn't Sainz. We know that.
Mm-hmm.
So who won the race? Fucking get out of here.
Well, I don't know. Question. Last year might have been different during that race.
No, but only one other team won for one event, and that was Singapore, I think. I think, right?
I don't know. You tell me.
Nah, whatever.
Fuck him. We know Verstappen's going to win anyway. He's going to fucking get out at front, and then it's just going to be...
That dude probably... Yeah, there was like this Instagram reel that I saw pop up where it was like, he was up the night before the F1 race a couple weeks ago. At like 3 a.m. playing iRacing with his buddies.
Like practicing or just like
Having fun. Wow. And I'm just thinking in my head, I'm like, that is how much better your car is that you don't care about sleep. So, right. You know.
Yeah, he's just that dude, man. He has that dog in him.
Yeah, exactly. He's just on another level. And again, I mean, the car is also has something to do with it, but even without that car, I think he's also just such a good driver, and people give him shit for it. But
me,
I know. Well, everybody,
right?
That's not a Verstappen fan.
It's just, you know, I guess this is even like, and obviously I didn't watch F1 during this time, but what I've heard is even during like Hamilton's like dominance, it was still more entertaining because
way
like,
more entertaining.
He was still fighting off people, so it's kind of like. This is like, he starts ahead of everyone, and then he's gone. Like, at this point, no one cares.
Well, you got to also think, like, it seems to me like they got the new regulations in 2022, like, down to a pack. So they were way ahead of everybody.
Yeah.
And by the time everybody else caught up to where they were in 2022, they had already jumped way ahead again.
Yeah.
So they're just so far ahead, they're able to work on the car for next year instead of worry about this year's car because it's already the fastest.
Yeah. So they're one step ahead of everybody.
Always one step ahead.
Yeah. And to be honest, sometimes I look at Ferrari and I'm like, maybe you guys have a chance. But then they don't.
Well, their car usually is fast, but then they pull some fucking dumbass call like in the pits or something. It's like, stay out, stay in, stay out. Right. And then, or like the wheel gun gets jammed, or they are on slicks and it's raining. I mean, there's just so many times where it's just dumb little mistakes that cost them a race.
So let me ask you this. Do you think with the addition of Hamilton next year, that will be a dominating team or a competitive team to Red Bull? Because no. I mean,
I think he has a better chance. It's too early to tell. Yeah. All right, I'm going to backtrack here. I think you should re-ask this question midway through the season. If Mercedes continues the path that they are currently on, then I would say yes, he should go to Ferrari. But if Mercedes gets their act together and their car starts to finally become winning races, but competitive,
right?
I think he might have made a mistake. I truly believe that Mercedes is a better team as a whole.
Mm-hmm.
Or they used to be. I don't know about now, but
now it just looks like fucking slow as shit.
I think, like I said in the previous podcast, he's at the end of his career. He's ready to try to finally, a Ferrari car, try to race on a Ferrari team.
Mm-hmm.
And I think he's tired of Mercedes.
Yeah. I mean, obviously with the continued losing seasons, it kind of gets old.
Well, I think also,
from the top, and now you're mediocre in terms of cars.
It's not even just that. He was the one that was like, hey, this car's junk. We need to change some shit. And they're like, you don't know what you're talking about. You just drive the car all the time.
Yeah.
And then like the end, the season rolls around and the next car comes out and he's like, this car drives like junk. And they're like, oh, maybe we should have listened to you. It's like, bro, that's like, he just won you how many championships and you won't even take his advice.
Right.
It's like, fuck on. That's unbelievable.
Yeah. All right. Well, this is going to be a short podcast because I need to get back to finishing the car.
Got to get back on his knees and fucking get them studs out.
Get them studs out. Actually, put those studs back in.
Mm-hmm. Put the studs in. Okay. Yeah.
Put studs in.
On a German car, you just screw them in, right? You don't have to press them.
Nope. Yep. You screw in. You put Loctite on the end. You screw it all the way in, and it's 25 foot-pounds, and that's it. Done.
Wow.
Pretty simple.
Yeah.
And if the stud breaks, you don't have to, press this bitch out. You just have to drill the fucking stud, and it threads out the back of the hub and just falls in between the dust brake shield and the rotor. But usually it just falls out, or you can just, pick it out. So it's pretty simple.
Yeah, when I do studs, it's like I just replace the wheel bearings at the same time because it's you're taking it all apart. You might as well just do both at once. So
right. Knock on wood, I haven't had to do wheel bearings.
Don't say it.
Well, I already knocked on wood.
All right, fine. We'll give you a pass on that one.
Yeah.
One last thing before I go.
Yeah.
You're trying new brake pads. Can you tell us a little bit about what your changes from VIR?
Yeah. So the previous year. Previous 2 years, I've been running Hawk DTC 60 front pads and then DTC 30 rear pads. Gracious to Hawk because I reached out to them first, way back when, to see if they could make me a track pad because no one at the time did. And they made 4 sets for me. So I've been using that since, 2 years ago. So they've lasted me a long time. I still am going to run the DTC 30 rear pads because I still have 2 fresh sets or 3 full sets. Obviously because the rears barely use anything.
Yeah.
So I'm trying Paragon R7 pads, which is their most aggressive pad, but it seems like it is more modular than the DTC 60s. So I'm excited to try that at CMP. And I can thank Eddie for that because I know he runs R7s. And yeah, and Godfrey at Paragon, super nice guy.
Awesome, dude.
He helped me out. And I was deciding if I wanted to do the big brake kit, which is the Alcon 6-piston, 355 millimeter rotors, or I could do 375 or some shit. But if I did that, then I would have to only run 19s, which poses an issue because I use 18s as a normal tie or wheel to get to and from the track. So then I would have to do the smaller kit, which I would rather do the bigger kit. So This is going to hold me off for the time being.
I think your car is also sufficiently braked.
Yeah, like, yeah. Like the Brembo
big calendars.
That, yeah,
calendars, calipers.
Yeah, the four piston calipers for Brembo is pretty solid. So, and I have a big rotor.
Yeah, I mean, I like Type R. Like, you can use those factory calipers for 99% of the people.
Right.
But I just kept blowing them out.
Yeah.
And I was sick of replacing calipers. So
I think next year I'm going to do the big brake kit because I don't want to replace the calipers again. Even though the calipers aren't that expensive because you can just get them off of. The good thing about my car is it's the same caliper as a CLA 45 from 14 to 19. My car, which is 15 to 19. And also the A-Class, which is, you know, if you import that from the UK or wherever, is I think they ran from like 13 to fucking 17, 19, 18 for this year model. So,
yeah.
So they're pretty easy to find and they aren't super expensive.
And there's no other pad that use or caliper that uses the same style pad?
Maybe, but I don't know any off the top of my head.
Because, like, I know that, like, the Type R has, like, the same caliper as, like, a Camaro.
Oh, really?
And, like, yeah, and, like, the Mustangs was, like, that just generic four-piston, you know, Evo, Type R, you know, right. They all run that same four-piston caliper, so.
I'm sure it's something similar, but it's just, you know, finding that.
No, I got it. But I got it.
I'm sure if I really wanted to, maybe I could reach out to, like, a rep at Brembo to see, like, cross-reference the.
It doesn't matter. Whatever. You're getting rid of them anyways.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, I want to do a big brake kit.
Yeah.
So that's next year's plans. But yeah. So anyway, Paragon R7s. Gonna try that out. I'm excited for that, and excited to see how that does.
I think you'll like them.
Yeah,
I've liked them, and I've been running them for 3 years now.
Good.
So.
Yeah, I mean, to be honest, any better experience at CMP than last year is a positive because I roasted. That was my own thing, but that was my own problem with the aero disc in the front of the car. Won't do that ever again. I learned my lesson that day when I had to replace my calipers and my stainless steel lines and replace the fluid and everything.
And the chassis, and you should have done the studs because
that's probably what fatigued them even more that day.
We'll put them in. Put them and in the ground there.
My brake duct fucking melted and fell off. Yeah, it was a whole time. That was an expensive mistake. But that's okay. We all learn.
I've made some dumb fucking mistakes. Yeah. It's all right. So.
Yeah. So anyway. All right. Well, I will see you guys later. We will be on next week. Talk about F1 and whatever the fuck else we have to talk about.
Yeah.
So
maybe we'll have a guest. Maybe we should.
Yes, we should have a guest.
Maybe we should convince one of our cronies to join in with us again.
Maybe David. Or,
you know what? I'm going to get a dice and we'll put names on that dice.
Oh, we have Tom on.
And we'll get Tom on.
We haven't had Tom on in a while.
We'll get, you know what? I'm going to text this motherfucker when we get off this. And Tom, you have no excuse.
Yeah, no excuse.
You can't pull anything. We know where you live.